Первый докладчик Надежда Павловна Волкова. Надежда, как на английском, на русском? Ну хорошо, замечательно.
Thank you. It's great honor for me to make a presentation here. And my name is Надежда Волкова. And I would like to speak about the source of subjectivity in the philosophy of Plotinus. Because I have a deal with Asian philosophy and with Plotinus and the problem of a self. As we know from the testimony of Porphyry, Plotinus has an experience of reunion with the one, transcendent origin. So, in the philosophy, it was a fundamental important question. How is it possible to achieve such a union for every person? In addition, there is a question, how we can save ourselves when we are in the divine and supernatural area? Why we find there us, ourselves, and not somewhere or something else? Plotinus tells us about this experience this way. He said, he who comes to unity with himself and making no more separation is one and altogether with that God in silent presence and stays with him as much as he wants to be and can be. But if he returns again to being two, while he remains pure, he stays close to the God. So, as to be present to him again, in that other way, if he turns again to him, in this journey he has an advantage, that to begin with, he sees himself while he is different from the God. Then he hastens inward and has everything, and leaves perception behind in fear of being different, and he is one in that higher world. This is Tertius 5:8. In the famous book about Plotinus or the Simplicity of the Vision by Pierre Hadot, author noticed his experience that Plotinus does not call us to dissolution or of personality in Nirvana. On the contrary, this experience reveals that our personal identity presupposes an ineffable absolute. Being both his emanation and expression, I may ask, what is the reason to make such a statement? Hadot refers to the following testimony of Plotinus. He said, in these moments, there is a sort of intimate understanding and perception of a self, which is careful not to depart from itself by wanting to perceive too much. Plotinus used the words synesis and synaesthesis. Thus, some sort of consciousness, we can translate these terms like consciousness, remains even in these ecstatic moments. Many scholars noticed that Plotinus discovers the problem of human consciousness. Eric Robert Dodds believes that Plotinus' achievement as a psychologist is, above all, that he first made a distinction between the concept of the soul and the ego. Plotinus identifies consciousness, that is, the ability of self-observation, with the ability to represent, fantasia. Consciousness has the ability to focus on the different objects. Then, where to focus attention? It becomes a matter of concern, to which a person identifies themselves as a result. Attention can be focused both on sensible or intelligible. Dividing this on a few parts, higher and fallen intelligible part and lower embodied part, Plotinus makes consciousness a mobile point. Consciousness per se is a passive. It draws energy from the object on which it directs its attention. Consciousness is like a mirror. It reflects that on what is that attention is directed to. So, Richard Sarabjee thinks that when we talk about the contents of consciousness, it is not what illuminates, because consciousness itself has no source of light, but it is what was lit up. That is, it takes light from the higher hypostasis. It is clear that consciousness is neither true object, neither true subject of our action, nor accounts for our personality. Where do we look for the foundation of our subjectivity? If we switch attention to the activity of the unfallen soul, we will see all three higher hypostases. Plotinus wrote, it has been shown that we ought to think that this is how things are, that there is one beyond being of such a kind of our argument wanted to show, so far as demonstration was possible in these matters. And next, another there is being and intellect, and the nature of soul in the third place. And just in the nature, there are three of which we have spoken. So we ought to think that they are present also in ourselves. I do not mean in ourselves as being outside the realm of sense perception. Outside here is used in the same sense as those realities are also said to be outside the whole universe. So the corresponding realities in man are said to be outside, as Plato speaks of the inner man, Treatise 5.1. Who is this inner man? Plotinus answered this question in the Treatise 6.4. Plotinus asked who we are, but we, who we are? Are we that which draws near and comes to be in time? No, even before this coming to be came to be, were we there, men who were different, and some of us even gods, pure soul. Plotinus argues that we are present in the intelligible as a people, it is as an unfallen soul, and this is the real subject of activity. However, intelligible reality is not the limit of subjectivity, since every idea is only the trace of the one, the trace not of his presence, but rather of his absence. Therefore, asking to the one and actually return to ourselves, gnoti se avtu, does not end in the intellect. For this, the soul must leave all to be able to touch the one. Plotinus said, but just as it said of matter, that it must be free from all qualities if it's going to receive the impressions of all things, so much more must the soul be without without all qualities if there is going to be no obstacle settled in it to its illumination and fulfillment by the first nature. It means that leaving all the content, the soul gets to its simply unity. It gets to the pure subjectivity. Thank you.
Thank you. Так, коллеги, вопросы? У меня вопрос, может быть, несколько там наивный. Насколько вот такое понимание можно с сартровским пониманием соотнести?
Я просто не готова про Сартр говорить.
Почему-то ассоциация возникла.
Я боюсь, что некомпетентна совсем в этом вопросе.
Ask a question?
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is very interesting. I actually have written on this topic because there's a question as to whether there is a conception of the self in the ancient world or if it began with Descartes. This is a discussion in Miles Berniat in his famous essay on this topic, and edited in a book called Idealism, Past and Present. And Sorabji agrees that there is a conception of the self in the ancient world. But this problem in Plotinus is very specific because he thinks that the self, the ego, must unify with the one. And this unification is not annihilation of self, as you said, but somehow is an expansion of the self to become identical with its source, or to become one with the one, henosis. You get a different image in, I think, in Porphyry and in Proclus, and in the later tradition in Pseudo-Dionysius, where there is the notion of the dissolving of the ego. The example is always the drop of water in the sea, or the ray of light that joins all the other lights. You can't see it anymore. So I would just like you to explain more precisely what you think is the what sense the ego remains with the one, and in what sense it is abolished or disappears.
Если вы позволите, я отвечу на русском, потому что это очень сложный вопрос. Thank you. Thank you very much for your question. It's very difficult, and I need to speak in Russian if you... Значит, что я думаю по поводу уровня себя? То есть я полагаю, что есть как бы нижний уровень, да, вот этот уровень представления о себе, скажем, да, принадлежащий воплощенной душе. Это вся фантазия, да, все представления, они связаны с нашей телесностью. Следующий уровень – это уровень вот этой непадшей чистой души, которая является частью постигаемого мира, и где достигается подлинное единство мыслящего и мыслимого. Однако это не последний пункт, есть еще один шаг, это то состояние, в котором душа присутствует рядом с единым, и... Именно это состояние Платин описывает с помощью терминов «сюнесис» и «сюнестесис». Когда умное содержание покидает душу, она отказывается от него, чтобы в своей предельной простоте соответствовать единому, и в этом смысле мочь быть рядом с ним.
That's the way in which the tradition understands Plotinus. So Saint Augustine, Maximus, they have the idea, as you said, of the return, the epistrophe, going back from the body becomes mind and the mind becomes part of the overall world soul and the world soul goes back to become part of the nous and then nous becomes one. But for the Christians, it was very important to emphasize that in this return, in the henosis or reditus or epistrophe, there was also still some individuality of self, because that is the promise of resurrection. But I'm not sure if you find that exactly in Plotinus, so I would just like to know from you.
Thank you, I understand you. I will think about it and be more...
Thank you. Так, следующий наш докладчик.
I'm sorry, I've got an idea. May I ask you another question?
Yes.
Is it possible to say about self, not to think about ourselves? Ну, то есть в самом понятии себя не заложено ли представление о том, что я сам?
I think you have different traditions, even within... in the Christian interpretation of Plotinus, which I'm more familiar with, that you have in the tradition of Saint Augustine, that there is a strong emphasis, like Descartes, in the continuity of the ego, even after in the reunification with the One. But in Pseudo-Dionysius and later in Eckhart, there is the idea of the abolition, more like a Buddhist idea of the annihilation of the self, because we are now all higher self, if you like. But there is still a tension, you know, you cannot let go entirely of the starting point, which is my experience of my individual self. That somehow continues, at least for the Christians, because otherwise there would be no resurrection of the self. There would only be nirvana or something.
Yes, I understand. Thank you.